Good morning. Do hope you'll come back at 5 o'clock, and we do want to start on time, so be here a little early with your dish and get it all set up, and we'll probably be eating from 5 to 6:30. Well, we're going to move into a Lord's Supper at the end of our meal, and then try to start around 6:30 for the concert, and so please come back. If you haven't signed the sheets, that's okay. Just come on anyway. Bring a favorite dish, and we'll all be happy. Well, this is Thanksgiving week, and but this morning is not a typical Thanksgiving message. We're continuing on in the book of James, but you know, we are reminded, and it's just a beautiful testimony from Donna this morning about thankfulness for her salvation and how somebody took the time to invite her to church and how she came to know the Lord, the friendship that she had with Jesus even as she was a small child. And we're listening to Charles Stanley getting ready this morning, but you know, we really do have so much to be thankful for, and no matter what you're going through, the good times or the bad times, thankfulness is just something that changes a situation. No, it doesn't. No, not always. Thankfulness doesn't always change the circumstance. You know what it does, though? It changes your heart, changes your attitude towards that circumstance. It makes you, it opens your eyes to maybe what God is doing. And the Bible is just full of scripture, okay? But just a reminder, God is good, and he's good all the time. Yes, even when we're going through some hard times, God is there, his presence there, salvation is there, the Holy Spirit is there, heaven is our home, his presence in this life is with us, and we are just such a blessed people, and we need to be reminded of that this week. So to get us going, I want to say God is good, and you come back with all the time, and then I'm going to say all the time, and you say God is good, okay? See if you can do better than the first service, but I will admit they were pretty loud, okay? And they said it not just loudness, but from the heart, too, that you really believe what you're saying. Let's give it a try. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Okay, you think we can do better? Okay, let's try to get four times. Oh, one more time. Okay, I was going to say, yeah, we got to move on here. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. It'll just change your whole outlook on things when we offer up that praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. So, and that's a year-long thing, not just during Thanksgiving week. And there. So, we're going to ask you this morning, are you wise? Not a wise guy, but do you have wisdom? And this is not the wisdom of the world. This is the wisdom of God's word. This is God's wisdom. And we're not talking about knowledge, because people can have a lot of book learning. They can acquire tremendous knowledge and still act stupid. You know, I don't know. I was told that's not a good word. So maybe we can say dumb. We do dumb things, don't we? All the time, we say things we wish we hadn't have. We do things we wish we hadn't have done. And the thing about James, so much of his writing, it's very practical, okay? A lot of it is practicality in Christianity, how to relate to one another, okay? Basically, that's what life is about, is meeting people, having relationships with people at work, socially, family-wise, in church, and how you relate to people. And you meet a lot of people during the week. Some are delightful. Some people are difficult. Some people we meet are inspiring. Others are irritating. Some are fascinating. Some are intimidating. You know, so here's the thing with relationship. You can have all the money in the world. I mean, you can have a tremendous job and a home and the best car. But if relationships aren't good, life stinks, basically. You know, if you're not getting along in marriages or in friendships, you're miserable. And so James really is very practical in the sense he's talking about how do we get along with people. And if he was to walk in, and this is what he's saying, who's wise? If he was to walk in here this morning and say, who's wise? And if anybody was dumb enough to raise their hand and say, I'm pretty wise, you know, he would say, show me, okay? Show me. Remember, he's the one that says, well, it's seen in your everyday life. It's seen in the way that you talk and the things that you do. And he talks about godly wisdom in this passage, not worldly wisdom. And it's amazing how opposite the two really are from each other. And we think in American business today, the things that make you advance and grow a business are actually the opposite of what God's Word says and how to relate to one another. And so we're going to look at that this morning. In James 3, 13 through 18, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it." Okay, this he always says, show me, but now he says, you're going to show it to me by how? By his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So, our wisdom is seen in our good deeds, in our humility. And James is the book of wisdom. Okay, in the Old Testament, the book of wisdom is Proverbs. It's amazing how much Proverbs and James in the New Testament are so similar in the things they talk about. They talk about the way things people do and say and practicality. Verse 14, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth." You know, a lot of people think that's the way to advance. That's the way to grow a business, is that enviousness and that motivation from envy and jealousy and selfish ambition and that striving force to just do whatever you have to do by lying, being deceitful, or by whatever means to grow that. He says it doesn't happen that way. This is what he says. Such wisdom, and also in personal relationships, if they're developed upon a lie and not completely honest in the seeds of peace, it's not going to grow. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, okay? Not only is it earthly, you know, and this is what is the driving force of the world, because we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God, and also Satan, who walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. We live in a fallen world. These things, people, are of earthly value. Not only is it just earthly, but it's unspiritual. It's opposite of what God's Word says, and it's actually saying this is of the devil, okay? "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Is there disorder in your life? Is there chaos in your family, at your work? Is it turning into evil practices? You know, God said he's a God of order. He's a God of peace. And here's the thing. Every time you meet someone or talk to someone, maybe someone you've known all of your life, in your family, out of your family, a friend or a neighbor or a spouse, or maybe your child or your parent, you know, you're planting some type of seed. He's saying, what is coming forth from your mouth and your actions that support that? You're planting a seed. Either you're planting seeds of peace in that person's heart, or encouragement, or uplifting, or you're sowing seeds of anger, of bitterness, of selfishness. Verse 17, a focal passage that we're going to use for the outline this morning. "But the wisdom that comes from heaven..." So now he says the wisdom of earth is one thing. The wisdom of heaven is this. It says, first of all, it is pure. Okay, that's going to be point number one. Then peace and loving. The wisdom of God's word is considerate of one another. It's submissive to one another. It's full of mercy. And that mercy is going to create good fruits and not bad fruits within your life. Impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness or goodness. Okay, so if we plant those seeds, he's saying again, you're going to reap whatever you sow. If you plant those seeds and sow those seeds of peace, you're going to receive that goodness, that righteousness back, and a peaceful lifestyle among people. So how can we have that peaceful relationship? Well, he says it's from wisdom, not human wisdom, not wisdom from the earth, but a godly wisdom. And it's not even the wisdom that we equate with knowledge. It has nothing to do, but it's biblical knowledge. It's God's knowledge. It's God living through us through his Holy Spirit. And that's what true wisdom is all about. And so he asks that, who is wise? He says, you think you're wise, then show me. You can have all the diplomas in the world, but this kind of wisdom is not about diplomas. It's about your disposition. It's about your character. It's about your relationship. Wisdom creates humility. Knowledge creates pride in a person's life. You know, either the more that you learn, the more you know, you become so prideful in that, or you become humble in that, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know, and God is in control, and take the wheel, Jesus, you know, because this is just overbearing for me. And so it's a lifestyle, it's a relationship in that. So we're talking about character and humility. So if you lack that wisdom, it causes problems, he says. If you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast about it and deny the truth. That kind of wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly. So envy and selfish ambition is not going to create order, but it will create chaos and in your life and at work in your home. Is there chaos in your home, in your marriage, at work, with people, or is it orderly and at peace? This is what he says. So we're going to look at these six different things here. What does it mean to be wise? And if I am wise, if I do have true wisdom, then how does that equate in my life, in my speech, in the things that I do? So the first one here, he says, if I'm wise, I will not compromise my integrity. That's what he says in verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Now, what does it mean pure? Well, it means uncorruptible. Uncorrupted, it means authentic. And 1 John 3:3, the word here that is used is talking about Christ's character of integrity, okay? Integrity, it means it's genuine, it's pure, it's uncorrupted, it's unauthentic, it's not deceitful. It's a person of integrity, of honesty. You know, you can never, ever build a relationship on lies. And so once you're honest with yourself, honest with God, honest with other people, then there's nothing ever to hide. And that brings peace. If there's always something to hide or something you have to tell a lie for to cover the lie that was already told, you know, then you can't. Someone once said, no man has a good enough memory to be a habitual liar. You know, you just be always looking over. Will somebody find out? That creates chaos, okay? That creates confusion. That creates a very burdened heart. God's word is saying here through James, just be honest. And you know what? You can walk with confidence. Everybody knows who you are up front. There's nothing hidden. There's no lies they believe. Because you cannot build a relationship on dishonesty, on distrust. So you have that integrity. Dr. Leonard Keeler, he was a man who invented the lie detector test. He said he tested 25,000 people and came to the conclusion that people are basically dishonest. Okay, and that's true, and that's the ways of the world, and that's that sinfulness coming out. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:9, the man of integrity walks securely. Okay, so you can walk securely, you can walk with confidence, you have nothing to hide, you've been honest with people, not these hidden things are going to be found out, you know, and so that's what he said, this is how you sow peace within your life, this is a seed of peace for your own integrity, your own purity, your own authenticity, and then you have nothing to worry about, okay, the opposite is going to create chaos. And just wondering and always looking behind you and just fear within your life, okay? So we can't compromise. True wisdom. You know, here's the thing. Wisdom is, okay, if we think we have wisdom, why do we keep doing such stupid things? You know, we know it's going to get us in trouble. You know, we learned that from a child. Okay, did you do it? No, I didn't do it. You know, it was Johnny over here. And it, all that did was create that chaos, you know, and it never really, so we think, if it never worked in the past, why do we think it's going to work? You know, what's going to be any different in the now or in the future? And that's what he says. We cannot compromise our integrity. As a Christian, there's a certain lifestyle, James is saying, okay, you think you're so smart, number one, and then we're going to go forward. Are you truly honest in your dealings with people and your perception and your integrity? Number two, he goes on to say, okay, you say you have wisdom. Well, if you're wise, then you will not antagonize other people's anger or antagonize people to anger. And or antagonize your own anger. So he goes on to say, number two is peace loving. Okay, wisdom is peace loving. Some people just want to argue. Have you ever met somebody like that? They just want to argue. I mean, that's kind of like their motivation. That's kind of like the fuel that keeps them going. I once knew a guy that the only food that he would eat was the food that would disagree with him, you know, because he loved to argue so much. This is not a Christian character, though. And he says, how many times is it going to take for you to realize it never worked in the past? Sometimes people know which button to push just to anger another person. Well, that's not sowing seeds of peace and loving kindness, you know. That's deliberately trying to create argumentative speech and anger from that person and anger back from that person. Proverbs 20, verse 3 says, any fool can start arguments. The wise thing is to stay out of them. So that's not hard, is it? It's not hard to start an argument. And after the argument's already started, you think to yourself, why did I say that? I knew that would create an argument. You know, and that's what he's saying. Then you don't have true wisdom. You know, you're doing stupid things, okay? And what are some of the things that we know are going to start and create arguments? Well, number one is comparing, okay, in relationships. If you begin to think, you have to compare. Well, you're just like so-and-so, or why couldn't you be like so-and-so? Or when I was your age, I did this. Or, well, my first husband did it this, or my first wife, did it this, or my mother made it this way, you know. But that comparing, we already know, and that is not the seeds of peace, you know. So what he's saying is actually think before you speak. If you know it's going to create anger and dissension, then just don't do it, okay? Another one is condemning. So comparing does that, condemning does that. It's all your fault. You should be ashamed. And you always do this, or you never do that, or you should do this, or you shouldn't. You know, you can bury a marriage with a lot of little digs like that. So those are the things. Will not antagonize your anger, another person's anger. Another one is by contradicting a person. Some things, we have to understand this, you know. Some things are just not worth fighting for. Some things you just have to let go. I mean, even if you disagree or you don't, you know, see it that way, you still listen to a person's heart maybe at what they're saying, you know, and pray for them in that way. But contradicting a person always leads to anger. It'll lead to fight. People take that defensive mode and it turns into an argument, okay? So James is saying here, if we're going to have true wisdom, you know, when are you going to learn these things? You know, you think you're smart, but really we do stupid things. We know these things create dissension and not good communication and healthy communication within lives, within relationships. But then this number four, if I'm wise, no wait, we're on number three. If I'm wise, I will not minimize your feelings, okay? And this is what he says, considerate. He says to be peace-loving, and then he says to be considerate. This is where you're considerate of other people's feelings. Proverbs 14:29, a wise man controls his temper, so we don't do things in anger, but we also show consideration. The word wisdom here is to consider, which means consider being mindful of other people's feelings. It says don't minimize other people's feelings. Feelings are feelings, okay? Whether they're good feelings, bad feelings, right feelings, or wrong feelings, that really doesn't matter. It's feelings. And he's saying be considerate of that person, whatever they're going through, whatever questions or whatever feelings they're having, to be sympathetic of that, to be considerate of that. And Proverbs 15:4 says, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. So we don't put people down. We don't try to play psychologist and say, I know why you're feeling that way, or I know why you're saying that. We can't be condescending towards people just because their feelings are not the same as our feelings, okay? So you cannot make other people feel invalid or illogical or make them think, well, you're so irrational or you're just being silly. We have to respect that. Be considerate of one another. And not play those games, well, you know, I can outdo you, like the husband that came home and and was all upset because he had a horrible day and the car wouldn't start and the air conditioning didn't work. And the wife says, well, you think you had a hard day? Johnny tried to stuff the cat down the commode and the beans burned. And, you know, I had a worse day than you. You know, the thing is they both had a hard day, okay? So you respect one another's feelings and not trying to outdo one another. It's just simply saying true wisdom is considerate. It's considerate of other people, okay? And then 4, if I'm wise, I will not criticize your suggestions. And this is from the word submissive, which actually the wording here, wisdom, is submissive. This is the only time it uses this actual word for wisdom. And it also means reasonable or a willingness to learn. It's saying, I will submit myself to what you have to say. And I am having an open mind and heart to hear you, you know, what your heart is saying, and to look at this in an open way, even if it's different from the way that I've looked at it. Maybe there's a different perspective I need on this situation. So it's saying that we submit ourselves to that, or it means that we're going to be reasonable. We are going to allow discussion. You know, you don't say, well, it's my way or the highway, and no, never, you know. And you're not right, and I'm right, and you're wrong, and that's just the way it is. So we have to ask ourselves, are we a reasonable person? Well, if we're not a reasonable person, then we're not very wise. We don't have the wisdom that God's Word is talking about here, because it allows for discussion. So we'll not do that. Criticize other people's suggestions. In Proverbs, so remember, James and Proverbs both have so much in common. Proverbs 12:15, a fool thinks he needs no advice. A wise man listens to others. So if it's true, we need to heed that. We need to listen to a person. If we know through that openness with one, it's just totally not true, then we just ignore that. We move on and we forget it. And God gives us the grace to do that with people too. Number 5, if I'm wise, I will not emphasize your mistakes, okay? And this is where we get the mercy. You know, our conversation full of mercy and good fruit, and the good fruit is actually what's going to come out of an attitude of mercifulness to other people. In James chapter 2, verse 12, earlier in our study of James, we read this, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy is always a greater principle than judgment, okay? It is not up to us to judge. I even put this on a slip of paper and got it above my desk here. But mercy always triumphs over justice, okay? What is that saying here? You know, this is saying that we don't keep hounding a person for past deeds. You know, hello, is that really wise? Has that really worked in the past? You know, they do something wrong, make a mistake. Oh, I forgot to fill up the car, so you end up, you know, without gas on the highway. You know, and they have to hear about it for 5 years later and 10 years later. And, you know, you should have did this, you should have done that. That's not showing mercy. That's trying to judge a person. I'm going to keep bringing it up till he finally changes, okay? Does that work? No. Is that wise? No. That's really stupid. It's never worked in the past. Why would it work now? True wisdom, though, on the other hand, shows mercy. That means forgiveness. That means we let it go. That means we don't bring up the past anymore. That means we love people for who they are through the love of Jesus Christ. And we show that mercy. And when we do that, you'd be surprised the good fruit that comes out of that. I mean, in a relationship and within the home, within families, within, you know, anywhere, at work, at church, you know, the good fruits that come from that just by showing mercy instead of hounding people over past mistakes. Okay, it's like two guys that went to this Christian convention, and they didn't know the other one was going to be there. When they got there, they saw each other and hadn't seen each other for years. So that night after the conference, they sat out in the lobby and talked for hours and hours and hours and hours, and they realized this is a wee morning hours, and man, what are our wives going to think? So they went back to the hotel room, And they saw each other the next day, and they said, "Wow, what happened to you when you got back to your room?" And he said, "Well, my wife got all historical." And he said, "Don't you mean hysterical?" And he said, "No, historical. She brought up all these past things that really aggravated her that I do in my life and would never stop." So, you know, and that's what James here is saying. Mercy always triumphs judgment, and not to keep bringing things up. So, and it's an action, so it produces that good fruit within life. And it's a greater principle. So he's saying if we want to be wise in your home and your family, don't keep bringing up past experiences, okay? Emphasizing people's mistakes, criticizing their suggestions, or minimizing people's feelings, or antagonizing people's anger. You know, we can do that. And he says, don't do that. Then number six, in true wisdom, if I'm wise, I will not disguise my own weaknesses. Okay, so, you know, like I say, these are totally opposite of any business transactions in the world today. I say, don't let people know your weaknesses. Don't let people know your Achilles heel. And, you know, stay strong, put on that front, you know, like you're in control and you're the best in this field. And so it doesn't work in relationships. But he says, impartial and sincere. This sincerity, the opposite of hypocrisy. These words here, wisdom is impartial and sincere. These two words actually in the Greek sound very similar to hypocrite, you know, hypocritical. And that's what he's saying. The person is putting on a front. They're really not that person, and they're thinking they're deceiving people. And the word comes from the Greek theater, you know, the hypocrisy. These were the names of the actors. This is what the actors did. They wouldn't have like a whole cast, you know, of 20, 30 people. They may have three or four people in the Greek play, and each one of those people would have like five or six different masks they would put on for whatever character they were playing, and they would play that role. And that's what he's saying, that's not sincerity. Way too many people try to act like somebody they're not. And you know what, if you would be really surprised to say, you know, I'm really not that person that I've tried to portray. I think most people would say, I already knew that. You know, it's amazing how people really know the truth, but you think you're fooling everybody. You're not fooling them, you're not fooling God, and you've really just fooled yourself because you're trying to be somebody that you're really not. He's saying here, do not be a phony. He's saying be sincere, be upfront, be the person that God has made you to be honest, show that integrity within your life. You're to be real and authentic. You know, what you see is what you get. And God says that's the way it should be. We're all in the same boat together. We're all in need of redemption. We all have things we're working on. We all need a Savior. We need forgiveness of our sins and that security of His presence and heaven as our home. So, you know, you don't try. We should be concerned what God thinks of us because He sees our heart, you know, but just be yourself. There's been times when people have told Paula, you know, you don't act like a pastor's wife. What does that mean? What kind of pastor's wives have they known? But she says, well, I'm honest, I'm upfront, and I am who I am. I have no secrets, you know, and she loves people and loves this congregation. I mean, I know her, you know, here and at home, and, you know, she's just who she is. And that's the way all of us should be. In fact, that's what James is saying. Quit trying to act like somebody you're not. Quit trying to act holier than thou or up on this pedestal, you know. And people that try to act that way, they think they're fooling everybody or somehow they have more wisdom or they have no more knowledge. And it's sad because they're the only ones that don't understand. You know, we got your number. We know what's going on. And so he's saying don't do that hypocritical play acting, you know, that you're somebody that you're not. You have to be open in need of that Savior. You know, a person can't even come to the Lord, can you? Unless there's that humility, unless there's that confession and a need for a Savior and confessing of our sins. Proverbs 28:13 says, you will never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Isn't that opposite of the world? They say, I got to hide all my sins, all my weaknesses so I can progress in this area. No, God says you're never going to have peace It's only going to cause turmoil and envy and selfish ambitions and disorder in your life and chaos until you get to that point of true wisdom from God, which means honesty and confession, and quit trying to hide those weaknesses, but just be who God made you to be. So, how do we rate on this test of true wisdom? Do you compromise your integrity? Do you use people, manipulate them? Do you say things that you know are going to tick people off, make people angry? Do you minimize feelings, criticize suggestions, emphasize other people's mistakes or wrongdoings in the past, or try to disguise your own feelings? James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's what this whole book has kind of been about, too, is the true wisdom from God. And this is something we have to ask for daily, if not hourly, for wisdom in every situation. Colossians 2:3, the secret is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all of God's treasures of wisdom. So the choice is there. And he says, whatsoever we sow, we're going to reap. He said, if we sow those seeds of kindness, of peace, you know, we're going to reap righteousness, we're going to reap goodness, and we're going to reap peace within our lives. But if we do those things that we know Satan's going to jump on and use that as fuel in our lives and other people's life, then it causes disorder and chaos, and the choice is ours. But he says, stop and think. You say that you're wise. Who is wise and understanding among you? Then show it. Show it how? By a good life, by deeds, by your humility. But if it's showing envy and selfish ambition, those are the two choices. Those are the things that lead to chaos in life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So we take a look in our own heart this morning, in that relationship with other people. But it starts with a relationship to God. Do you know him personally as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and say, forgive me, in humility? You plant that seed of humility, of confession, and God grows that into forgiveness and a home in glory, a home in heaven. He rewards you with his presence and a sense of his presence, of meaning and purpose in this life, to strengthen us, encourage us to live for him. Do you know that this morning? Are you in a right relationship with God? Then are there anyone that you need to be in a right relationship in this world to show a better Christian attitude towards and feelings of love and of peace towards? God will give you strength in that wisdom. If we're lacking wisdom, James says, ask for it. Don't just whine about it. Ask for it. And true sincerity, and God will show you. Lord, we thank you for this reminder from James this morning, what true wisdom is all about. The world doesn't understand this. In fact, they try to do things just the opposite to succeed in life. And the only thing that will do is to lead to chaos and disorder. But Lord, we pray that we can put aside any selfishness or envy or selfish ambitions aside, so that we could glorify the name of Jesus and have those Christ-like attitudes. Lord, we realize this is a spiritual warfare and battle each day to live for you. And we pray for that wisdom, that understanding, and we pray for that strength to make application of that wisdom in our everyday life, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. I'll be here to pray with you. You can come to the altar and pray. God says, come to him in full humility, and we'll have peace.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure. Behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall, thought of me above all. And all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known. Treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Lord, thank you for your word this morning, the reminder, Lord, that touches each one of us. So many times in our pridefulness and selfishness, we think how smart we are. And Lord, we're so sorry. And we come before you in humility and realizing that it's through you. Apart from you, we cannot do anything. It's through you that gives us the ability to forgive, to be honest, to be sincere, to be people of integrity in our words and in our deeds. We've seen this in your life, Lord, and we pray for our growth in Christ-likeness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And do you want them seated or standing?
Seated.
Okay. We can have you sit down and stand up and for our closing song. But I wanted to say right after the service, those who could stay and help us stack up these chairs, we're going to stack them up. We have a couple of chair dollies. We move them to the back along the wall. Then we pull out every available. We anticipate a good group tonight. Every available chair, folding chair, and table in the closet. But two, if anyone has a pickup we can use, we need to get all the chairs and tables from the other building, both in the youth and out of the children's room. And then we can go to any other storefront out there and see what they have. And no. But we want to collect everything and everything we have put in here. And so it goes fast. And then we have the decorations, too, are behind the kiosk for the table settings and tablecloths. And somebody's asked, well, who's in charge? I don't know. If you want to be, you can be in charge. But it just... God's in charge, yeah. But it always gets done. I mean, everybody just works together, and we always have a precious time for our annual Thanksgiving dinner. And so thank you so much, those that can help with that.
Yes, many hands makes light work. So thank you.